Hello, everybody. This is Tyler from the Synagogue Gang podcast. Just to let you know, for the first 7 minutes of this podcast, I forgot to turn on the mic and I forgot to plug it into the computer. So the audio is going to be a little worse. If you want to skip it, after this ends, go about 7 minutes ahead. If you want to take a listen, go ahead, where you're not going to miss much either way. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram. I'll catch you next time.
Welcome and welcome back, everybody, to the Synagogue Gang podcast. My name is Tyler.
I'm Derek.
I'm Aaron.
And today, we realized that the MK11 info dump kind of just happened. But due to certain, like, time restraints and scheduling, we're going to move that a little bit over. And today, we're going to talk about sequels. So, who wants to start off?
Your idea? Oh, well, we're basically going to talk about sequels, so movies, games, non-restricted in that sense. So, I don't know, like, what's your opinion on sequels? If someone was to, like, take your favorite, like, one-shot game, and then they said they were going to make a sequel, would you be, like, happy about it, or would you be more over, like, wary? Like, where do you sit on sequels?
I think there's a fine line in how to do a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are, like, I think there are three good ways to make a sequel. And those are to follow the idea of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it is broke, please fix it. Or to completely subvert the idea.
Yeah.
So something like my favorite game, Portal 2, didn't add much from the Portal. From the original Portal, it added like light bridges, like goo,
yeah,
and like that's it, give or take.
Yeah, but sequels that like they don't add a lot.
Yeah,
like they add stuff and like it's like barely the minimum in order to consider it a sequel, but you could honestly have just added it to the last game or so.
Yeah, I think. But the way that Portal 2 does it, it's because of how little it adds. Just because it adds so little, the creativity because of those new items or ideas is expounded upon infinitely, basically. And what are your takes on, like, sequels?
I know, I'm kind of half and half between, like, being conscious about a sequel or, like, being really happy. Because, of course, I'm happy that they're making a sequel for a game that I really like. But, of course, I don't want them to mess it up.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was happy that, like, I want Dragon Age Inquisition to have a sequel. Because I think that game was great. I think it deserves one. And really get everything. I think everything was great except for the inventory.
Okay.
I think the inventory sucked balls, to say the least.
Yeah.
Honestly, the inventory was pretty bad. At least on console, I'm not sure how it is on PC. It might be the same.
Mm.
But in terms of sequels, I would actually prefer to have a sequel than there to, you know, to not have a sequel. Okay. Even if they mess up some kind of things, at least you have like something to work off of again.
All right.
You know, so you see like compared to each one, maybe you can take like the best of both of the games and then like combine them into, I don't know, like maybe a prequel to the first game or another sequel.
I get that.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Or you could always, yeah, like the sequel could be bad, but if the first game or movie is good, then you just forget all about the existence of the sequel.
make a prequel.
Star Wars did that.
Yeah, that didn't.
Big rips.
And it ended the most well.
Those movies, a lot of people give them shit for it. And, like, I see it. There's a lot of bad acting in it. There's just a lot of awkward scenes, just, like, weird lines. Like, this is pod racing. No, this is garbage. That's
this. Now this is pod racing.
Now this is pod racing.
But it could. But they're not complete trash. I feel like people give them a far worse rep than they actually deserve. Because each movie has kind of a redeeming factor in that sense. Like, the first one, Phantom Menace, has the Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan fight against Darth Maul. Attack of the Clones, right?
Attack of the Clones.
They have the Geonosis fight.
Yeah, also the Jango Fett fight.
That, yeah, the Jango Fett fight. That was cool.
On Kamino.
And then, you know, the, what was it? Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Sith, something like that. I don't remember the last one. The name of the last movie. Return? Sure. I hope.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's Revenge of the Sith.
Is it?
Okay, Revenge of the Sith. Well, regardless, there's that whole long fight sequence of Anakin and Obi-Wan. And there is something, like, there's, like, some dumb parts of, like, you underestimate my power, and then...
I have that again.
Yeah. Just,
we all know have.
A lot of whiny Anakin, but, like, it's still a cool fight scene in that sense. So I feel like there is something to be had from sequels and prequels. Like, even if they are bad, there can still be some good out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, talking about the fight scene real quick, I think that fight scene highlighted how, in my opinion, how much better Obi-Wan was compared to Anakin.
Okay. Yeah, that's valid.
Because, like, the way Obi-Wan fights, he fights really defensively.
Mm.
I forgot what style he uses. It's like Sarisu, something like that.
Sarisu?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, it's a defensive one. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Also, it was just, like, to add on to the idea of sequels. Some sequels have, like, a pretty garbage story.
Yeah.
Like, I won't say that the original has a good story, but the Transformers.
Of course.
Series.
Yeah.
Has never really been about its story.
And the worst part is, like, as the movies went on, they kind of just went, like, fuck story. We'll just give it enough so that we have a reason to just have the Transformers exist.
We'll give more robot fights. Well, the robot fights are cool.
No, yeah, they're cool. We watch Transformer movies for, like, the CGI and, like, all the explosions, the hero shots. If you're there for the story, you're gonna lose brain cells.
Hey, if you notice that the audio sounds a little better or worse, I don't know. We plugged in the mic now.
He just paused the podcast. You're like, oh, what's wrong? I just see him plug the USB in.
Yeah, I didn't plug in the mic for the first, like, 7 minutes. It's fine.
It's fine. Doesn't matter.
Oh, you said you had three different types of sequels?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and... Because I'm not really sure what you're talking about. Besides for...
So, yeah. I kind of touched on the idea of if it ain't broke, don't fix it with Portal 2.
Oh,
where they didn't change, like, anything, really. They just added more. And the idea of if it is broke, please fix it. Is, like, for the Smash games, there's the Brawl, which a lot of people did not like, either competitively or casually, because of things like tripping, broken characters, and, exactly.
For which game?
Brawl. It's the third game. And stuff like that, just really abusable, easy to, like, kill a game type stuff.
Kind of like release that shot.
Honestly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In Injustice 2, by the way.
But yeah, Brawl was completely, like, a mess in a lot of people's eyes. And then Smash 4 worked to fix upon that by making the gameplay faster, an even bigger roster, and more, like, offensive options.
And then, bigger stages.
Exactly.
They fixed the problems of the last game and added more.
Yeah.
Added more stages, more people, you have a bigger roster, just more stuff to do to change up the fighting.
Yeah. Also, like, better balance, I will say, with a caveat of Bayonetta being released, because Bayonetta completely, I would say, killed the game, because in Evo during last year, Smash 4 was a Saturday finals game, and during the last game of Grand Finals, it was two Bayonettas. And they started off the game by literally stalling the match for a minute. You have to play that game is 6 minutes long. Each match is 6 minutes long.
What the hell?
And the fact that they didn't use a minute of it infuriates not only me, but the entire community of that game. Which is why we now have Ultimate.
Yeah.
Which makes the gameplay even faster. Balance is even better. et cetera, and et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third idea I was talking about is to completely subvert it. And for that, I use the example of Metroid to Metroid Prime. Because the Metroid games are what is essentially like a very cornerstone game of the entire gaming community, creating a genre, even with Castlevania, to be the aptly named Metroidvania series, which is like exploring 2D side-scroller types.
Yeah.
And because of, and with that, when it was announced that Metroid would get its jump into 3D on the GameCube, a lot of people were obviously nervous. But the way they did it is they the jump from 2D to 3D was something that scared a lot of people. But the way they did it greatly changed everything, but it made it feel good. As a first person, it made it first person shooter. It still had exploration, it still had adventure, and it still had branching paths, which is really good. It keeps all that core elements, and it keeps a core story that was essentially a through line through the Metroid series. But the way it presented it was completely subverted from its side-scrolling roots.
Like, what was it? Legend of Zelda and Ocarina of Time.
Exactly.
Yeah. How that movie, how that game was like, well, was hailed as super, as like one of the best games ever. Yeah. They kept their key theme, which is exploration and, you know, finding new weapons, finding new items, killing bosses and stuff. And then, but then they just changed up, like, you know, the perspective in that sense. The
top down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Super Mario. What's it called?
Mario 64?
Or Mario Galaxy?
Yeah, Nintendo 64, yeah. Super Mario. Yeah, see?
One sequel that I would like to say is bad.
Okay.
Is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Just for the record, I love Mortal Kombat 1995. Not
the
Annihilation.
Film.
Yeah, the film.
Film.
Not the, well, the games are fine. All the games are fine. But
well,
Mortal Kombat...
We can go into that, but...
A lot of people don't like MK versus DC. I do. But I like a lot of things. There actually aren't a lot of things I dislike, but Mortal Kombat Annihilation is one of them. They changed a lot of the original actors.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say a lot. They changed Raiden.
Yeah.
They changed Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
For no real reason. And you'll know this. You'll get this if you actually watch the movie. And Sonya Blade. I think they might have changed Jax, but he wasn't really shown that much in the first movie to begin with anyway, so I think that was fine. But Sonya, the second Sonya actor, doesn't act like the first Sonya actor, and the second Raiden doesn't act like the first Raiden. And Johnny Cage was... Well, no spoilers for a movie that came out before, you know.
Yeah.
TK.
That's valid.
But that's just one sequel that I didn't like. Also, another sequel I didn't like is Destiny 2.
Okay.
There was no reason to have Destiny 2 as its standalone game, because Destiny 2 was pretty much Destiny 1, except worse. I think Destiny 1 was better. Destiny 1 had better online. It had better maps. It had better raids. I mean, it also had better online maps. It had better weapons. I think the weapons were cooler. In Destiny 2, everything felt even more repetitive, and that might have just been because of Destiny 1, because I, you know, played a lot of Destiny 1. But Destiny 2 should have just been maybe not 60, maybe like a $30 or $40 DLC, and I think that would have been like praised, because it does have pretty much the same content of the Destiny 1, which still isn't saying much.
Okay.
But to make it $60 and to make it its own game rather than just making it just DLC. Like, they didn't do much to change anything.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And the things that they did change, I feel like, were worse. I think one thing that I did like about just Destiny 2 over Destiny 1 is that you could have more, not that you could have more subclasses, but some subclasses were, you didn't have to buy them. So I could get all three of the Hunter subclasses, which is like the Gunslinger with the, I don't know the actual names, but the Gunslinger, the Voidwalker, I believe, and the Arc Staff thing.
Okay.
And then you have like the Sun Gun,
The sun gun.
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. And then you have the void bow and arrow. I think that those are really cool. And I did like those additions. They should have had that in the first game.
Okay.
Rather than have those as DLC. I think the DLC for both games are fine, though. I think they're a little overpriced, though.
All right. That's valid.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. A sequel that I really liked that really doesn't change at all, except for, I guess, like, some dynamics, maybe more characters, more abilities, more maps. Dungeon Defenders 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fun. And it's like, honestly, like, if you can, you could consider it, like, just more of an expansion of Dungeon Defenders 1. It's less of like, oh, there's completely brand new items, brand new stuff, and it's more just like, here's more maps, here's more stuff to do. And they just make it as a separate game because, I mean, well, like, just because there's a lot of content they added, like, it's enough to, in my opinion, call it a new game.
Also, it's free.
That's also true.
Yeah.
So, unlike Destiny 2, which sold for 60, Dungeon Defenders 2 was, one, better. It had better story. It had better longevity.
Mm-hmm.
It had better characters. It had better looking everything. I think the inventory was horrendous, though. I think that's one
that's
problem.
True.
It was not
too small.
It wasn't okay. user friendly at all, but it's free.
That's true.
And they're still updating it now, and it came out however many years ago, probably like same time CSGO came out.
That's
and
true.
Dungeon
yeah.
Defenders 2, though, it doesn't have the largest fan base. It's not a super popular game. It's not like Dota or League of Legends. It's not like CSGO. But the people that are working on it, Trendy Entertainment, I believe, TE, they're still updating it because they're staying loyal to the Dungeon Defenders 2 game, and I like that too. I think their company is really cool.
And like Dungeon Defenders 2, a problem with a lot of sequel games, and games like Dungeon Defenders 2, which are like tower defense games, they tend to feel repetitive with what you have to do. Like basically, like, place down a tower, defend. That's basically it, but like Dungeon Defenders 2, like, you already have Dungeon Defenders 1, and then you already know, like, the whole premise of the game. Like, you can run around, shoot stuff, you know, place down your own towers, and you're just defending. And it's really easy to get into a trap where you make an extremely boring game just because it's the first one copied over to a new map or something. But what they did that was very impressive was they had, like different objectives throughout, or like the maps were like so vastly different or vastly large, or just like so many defense points that it's kind of hard to just say like, oh, you're doing the same thing over and over again. Like in its core, it's a tower defense game, but there's just a lot of stuff happening in it that it can't just be a tower defense game. There's like, for example, there's a boss fight where you have to defend these eggs or something. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to prevent them from getting stolen by a bird or whatever.
Betsy.
Yeah, Betsy.
The bird.
The bird.
I think it's a wyvern. I guess.
Oh, wait, no, it was a dragon. Yeah.
It's completely
not a bird.
Different.
Yeah, very different thing.
It's more like a reptile than it is a bird, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're supposed to defend these eggs, and then, like, the first wave comes, you kill them, but then there's other stuff, like debuffs on your tower, or like...
And Betsy,
like,
does come down.
Yeah.
And she puts a bunch of debuffs in places where she would just destroy your towers.
Ah.
Exactly. Right. So there's just like a lot of stuff happening that it doesn't get boring. And I feel like that's a pitfall a lot of sequels fall into. I'm not saying these are bad. I'm just saying that these are repetitive, but a lot of Pokemon games...
Okay.
They're very the same. Like, the Pokemon are different, which is what gets people to want the game. Pokemon are different, new legendaries. You can trade them over from your past games, new story probably, Mega Evolution and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a point for Pokemon where, like...
It just becomes grinding.
Yeah, it just becomes grinding. Or also, like, they can't make any more sequels without, like, bullshitting.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of their Pokemon is literally a spoon or something like that, or like he's some utensil,
like a chain of keys.
Yeah, chain of keys, or
the steel fairy type,
or coral. There's he's like a coral. You know, like they're not. It's not bad yet.
I think the thing is with Pokemon specifically. I feel like I don't think they've really lost inspiration for ideas, and I don't think they really started with a big old fountain of ideas in the first
place.
That's
true.
Because of Voltorb.
Yeah,
and Electrode.
Their first few Pokemon were actually pretty, like, They're basically normal creatures given abilities.
Yeah, Psyduck, there were some that were pretty whack.
Yeah, like, but it's not like a lack of ideas. It's just like, I don't know how to explain it. I guess to the best of my ability, like, I love the Pokemon games and I play it a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to seem biased, but like, their games their games just like feel a bit repetitive, just like changing skins of Pokemon, like, okay, in essence, like abilities and stuff. Yeah, it's just, but with the addition of stuff like Mega Evolution, you know, you add another factor to the game. Adding another type, the fairy type, adds another factor to the game. You know, adding stuff like that's very smart. It's just changing Pokemon, which is what they basically did for the first few games. It worked for a while because everyone's like, oh, I wonder what new Pokemon they'll come up with. But then, like, it's not that their ideas are, like, getting boring. It's just people are getting used to seeing all these new Pokemon that they're just like, yep, another new 150.
Yeah.
Also, to touch up on Dungeon Defenders 2 real quick.
Okay.
Some things I didn't like is they should have had more maps.
Okay.
I feel like they did have a good amount of maps, but once you're done with the campaign, the game turns into a kind of grindy game, kind of like Destiny 2 or Destiny 1 and 2. But I like grinding, so I don't mind it.
Yeah.
But they should have had more outside of campaign maps.
Okay.
Oh, definitely.
They should have had more campaign maps in general. And one big problem I think they have is that no matter what difficulty you're on, no matter what chaos level you're on, which is, you know, you have to grind to get up really high, no matter what level you are, no matter what level the enemies are, there's always going to be 5 waves per game. I think it should go higher, not absurdly high. If you're like a really high rank and you're grinding at like the highest level, there shouldn't be like 100 waves. But I think there should be more than 5 every game.
Okay.
No, that's fine. There should be like 8. And even in the campaign, on the easiest difficulty or on the hardest difficulty, you're also still getting only 5 waves. I think that should go up.
I feel like it should change.
Yeah.
According to what map you're playing also.
Or what difficulty you're on.
Yeah, like first, like, for people who grind, because I think this is how chaos levels work, isn't it? Like, when you fail, you have to start at the bottom again? Or wait, it was one of those. It was like one of those, like, tower type stuff. Like you keep playing maps until you build up to the next level.
Chaos level is, you keep playing, and then, to get to a higher chaos level, you have to get better items and gear and then get your rating up. Your player rating, stat rating, whichever one it is, and then that would allow you to go to a higher chaos. Mm-hmm. Though there are some type of, there's another type of game mode, I don't remember what it is. I think they are just called chaos levels, but you have to complete a series of maps to move on to the next one.
Exactly.
Okay.
And how that could work, and because each map is like 5 waves long, it's like it starts to, you should have it scale up, like the first map would be like, I don't know, really short, you know? Cuz it's like the easiest map. It's less of a challenge the first few maps, and it's just more of like just get this over with and then the harder maps will come along. So those first few maps should just go by really quickly, and then the harder ones should be drawn out a bit more.
Like Nazi zombies rounds.
Yeah, okay. Nazi zombies.
How like
rounds.
On round
exactly.
one,
yeah,
okay. everything would be like one shot, and there would be like I think 7 zombies per person, and then at like round 20, it obviously gets really long. It shouldn't just be like round 1 should be the same length, but just a little bit harder enemies, but still be the same length as round 20. Like that.
Yeah,
that's
happen.
Valid.
That shouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah, that shouldn't be what's happening.
So. Based on sequels that are bad, I kind of want to touch on a sequel so bad it doesn't exist anymore, which is The Culling 2.
The Culling 2.
The Culling?
Oh, yeah, The Culling. The Culling is kind of like Hunger Games, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. It's like this battle arena game.
It's a first-person Hunger Games. Yeah, battle arena.
Yeah. But yeah, Culling 2 is so bad that the developers cut the game off. It's not on sale anymore. And now they're back to developing further on Culling 1. So you know you messed up when your sequel doesn't exist anymore and you're back to working on the first game.
That's true. Yeah. That's That's really how you know you messed up. Yeah. If you have to just completely forget the sequel. It's like, if the creators themselves refuse to acknowledge the sequel.
Yeah, it's like, what sequel? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, this is bad, like really bad. What do you mean, racist? What's bad? I don't see anything, do you? No?
Also, another sequel.
Wait, why was it bad?
Did you watch... So, I personally didn't get to play it before it got knocked off shelves.
Did I watch any gameplay?
It was Angry Joe, talked about in his top 10 worst games.
Oh, really?
2018.
Not surprised.
Yeah. But it was just like, they somehow fucked up doing something that is essentially a cash cow at the moment with the Battle Royale genre.
Yeah. And yeah, somehow, how do you mess that up? Yeah. Well, not like how do you mess that up. A lot of games did, but yeah.
But it's like, they messed up so bad in like graphically, connection wise, network, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, how was the actual gameplay?
It was pretty shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it like slower or faster compared to the first one?
It was, from what I've been told, it was slower and it was just like buggy. It was way too buggy to be like playable at sometimes.
A release Fallout game.
At 76.
What? Never heard of her.
Oh, bad sequels. Why don't we just mention that later?
Yeah, we can talk about it right now.
Right now? Fallout 76?
I feel like, see, the thing is, that kind of goes into the line for me, at least, where sequels turn into spinoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's in my idea. There's like a fine line between a sequel and a spinoff or like an expansion.
Yeah.
Because something like, to give you a different example, Far Cry 3, and then it's spin-off Blood Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Blood Dragon was like this really like 80s futuristic...
Techno.
Yeah, that one. That's the word I was looking for. It was like a super techno, hip-hoppy beat type first-person shooter, while Far Cry 3 was more of this like, you were in like this, not abandoned, but like... What was it? What's the word? Like Hostile Island?
Yeah.
Where, and honestly, Far Cry 3 is like one of my favorite Far Cries.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Is that you?
Keep going.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
Someone's stomach dropped. I don't know. But, yeah.
It was a hungry growl.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything else.
Was that something that had to be defined?
It didn't come out the bottom, it came out the center.
The center.
That wasn't a butt rumble.
Yeah.
And the stomach growl.
No. You got mouth farts, you got butt burps, and you got stomach growls.
Butt clouds.
Butt clouds. But yeah, just to finish off on that subject, Far Cry 3, as a game, is completely different than Blood Dragon, but Blood Dragon, I don't think, is a sequel of the Far Cry franchise.
Yeah.
It's more of a spinoff. So what do you think defines what is a sequel compared to what is a spinoff or a, what's the other word? Expansion.
So games like Final Fantasy, I don't think of them as sequels, since like the stories usually don't link with each other, you know. Final Fantasy 13 isn't the same as, you know, it doesn't have Cloud in it or Sephiroth, so I feel like those, like, they're all called sequels, but I feel like they're all just spin-offs or like just like labeled in the same franchise. Just because like it would be confusing to have like a ton of different games that like have the same concept but just different names. So like Final Fantasy 1, then like, I don't know, Cloud versus Sephiroth or whatever. But yeah, it's like, it doesn't really, it's its own game, but it's in a, what was it, like a game lineup. It's its own identity in game, but it follows a general formula in their whole pattern. So it's like that. Like, a sequel is a sequel if, like, in my opinion, if the stories match up.
Okay.
Something like that. The stories match up, or like... as long as the stories match up, those kind of things. Like, Bioshock Infinite, I don't think it's a sequel or a it's technically a prequel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would kind of consider it, but, like, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't directly, I don't really remember actually that well, but I don't recall it directly affecting Bioshock.
No, it's like pretty before the events of BioShock happen.
And I feel like the most connected it is to BioShock is through Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And the most for sure, it's doing is just like kind of explaining her background, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, and then the DLC kind of bridged it a little bit.
Yeah, like a cameo type thing.
Yeah.
You know, like in like Kingdom Hearts uses Cloud as a Cloud and Sephiroth as like characters that you can fight or like fight against or call to help you, but they're technically not like sequels of each other. You know, it's kind of like that.
If you want to talk about serialized sequels or timeline sequels, Kingdom Hearts.
Oh my god,
is the most confusing. Is one of the most confusing.
I love the games. They're like my childhood favorites and all of that, but it's just, oh my goodness. Okay, their naming is so weird. Who names their game Dream Drop Distance? Like, it sounds cool, but it's just so weird.
I can't believe you picked that one to criticize over 358 over 2.
Yeah, that one was weird too. Like, 358 over 2 days.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's about his nobody.
It's still 179.
Yeah, it's just, and then there's also, like, Kingdom, like, you don't know where this timeline, because Kingdom Hearts, like, had a, like, Kingdom Hearts 1 had their story, and then, like, Kingdom Hearts 2 is supposed to, like, precede that. But then the future games kind of preceded the story while kind of acting as prequels. Like they'd be like, oh, yeah, so this is what Sora's doing now, but he's doing this because this happened in the past. And then so instead of having one game being a prequel to help you understand, mm-hmm. and then one game preceding the story, they just merged them together and then just hoped that it would work out. Which, I guess, if you really played and paid attention to the games, it kind of did.
Yeah, but just to get from the story of Kingdom Hearts 1 to Kingdom Hearts 2 all the way until we're getting to Kingdom Hearts 3, there's a lot of weird games and a lot of weird storylines that somehow connect.
Yeah. Like, okay, the Kingdom Hearts franchise can, like, embody a good sequel and a bad sequel.
Okay, yeah.
Like, not bad, like, trash, but, like, bad, like, it could be better. Chain of Memories was a weird change from the original Kingdom Hearts game. So, originally, Kingdom Hearts is, like, a hack and slash.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you just defeat your opponent by pressing buttons and then just, like, doing different attacks.
Chain of Memories... 15.
Is like you use cards to attack.
Yeah.
So you can't just blindly swing and stuff. And it's not like a mana system. It's literally you have to wait for that card to appear to attack. And that whole change in system, like it was cool, but I don't know. Like it was like such a change in platform. The first Kingdom Hearts was already third person view.
Yeah.
You can attack however you wanted. Chain of Memories was on Game Boy, a side-by-side scroller, and you have to attack by card. It was such a drastic change that it kind of caught players by surprise. Like, it was very strategic and very fun, but it was just such a drastic change, which is, like, an example of a sequel that doesn't feel reminiscent of its predecessor.
Okay. Yeah.
By attack by cards, do you mean... Because I don't play the Kingdom Hearts games. Mm-hmm. Do you mean, like, magic?
And it's like,
you know,
imagine like a deck of cards. Like
yeah,
basically
imagine
you
like
have a bunch of like keyblades that all have like different powers and cards and stuff. And then basically every time you attack, each like swing is you using a card. And then to do a special ability, you have to do something called sleights, where you put up three cards of varying powers or varying types or magic cards or whatever. And depending on the power of the card, it will do a special attack like a bunch of level 10 cards or whatever will do like an omni slash.
It's essentially like a big game of poker.
Basically,
for the entire game.
So a turn-based attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not less turn-based, just like just really try to not waste all your cards because you can run out of cards preventing you from attacking. Like you can't attack if you run out of cards.
Do they replenish
the whole
after
thing.
Every fight?
There's a certain slight that replenishes
so,
all your cards, yeah. But like after you use that, if you run out, then you're kind of just waiting to die at that point.
But yeah,
you know, it's games like that.
Also, just to add on to how weird the story is of Kingdom Hearts,
mm-hmm.
there's a game that's a mobile game for Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah,
it's a gacha collectible game,
yes.
And one of the characters from that game is on the box art of Kingdom Hearts 3. So, that story, that game, is now all of a sudden important.
Yeah, that's a problem there. So, basically, the mobile game, it's supposed to be that the mobile players this is way in the past. This is like the Keyblade Wars.
Yeah.
And they're just gathering a bunch of Keyblade wielders to fight for light against the darkness. And then they kind of pass it off as they're like, yeah, you're just like a normal Keyblade wielder and you're gonna fight. But then they added new story plots to it. So Kingdom Hearts players who are just all like, oh yeah, no, I'll just wait for Kingdom Hearts 3. Then like they were caught surprised when they realized like, oh shit, there's a story development in this like phone app game. Like it's that was one thing I really didn't like about the whole like way Kingdom Hearts does their stuff. Yeah. Another problem I have with sequels is, and this is Kingdom Hearts 2, and like the changing in platforms. Kingdom Hearts 1 was on the PS2,
okay,
I believe. And then Chain of Memories was on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
And then it was also on the PS2 when they did Re-Chain of Memories.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, Re-Chain of Memories is a great remake. It remakes it into, like, the same fighting style, kind of, except it still uses cards.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then they transfer over to, like, 3DS, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
DS or 3DS.
Yeah, 3DS. So like, to get the whole storyline, you had to have a PS2 or a PS3 if you got the, you know, remixes. And then you also had to have a Game Boy or a PS3, I guess. Or you had to have, like, a 3DS or so to, like, get ahead in all of those. And then, you know, play the game on your phone.
Yeah.
It's just, if you have a sequel and it keeps bouncing around to, like, different consoles and devices, like, that's cool. But that can also hinder players.
Yeah. I think it'd be fine, though, if it's like an upgrade from a console to another. Like
oh, no, PS5, yeah.
Oh, yeah, if it changes generation.
That's perfectly fine if it changes generation.
But if you're jumping around from console to console, that shouldn't be.
Like a good example of it going from next generation is the idea of Crackdown. Because Crackdown 1 and 2 were on the 360.
Yeah.
And while much didn't really change, the core gameplay was still fun. And now Crackdown 3 is coming out on the Xbox One with Terry Crews. Which I'm super excited for, personally. I just love Terry Crews.
Dude, amazing.
Also, Crackdown 1's sensitivity is garbage. Like, I was playing it, and at the max sensitivity, you're barely turning at half a mile per hour.
Yeah, no, you go pretty slow.
It's ridiculous.
But it's like, I don't know, I think they did fix that in 2, though. Like, they fixed a couple stuff. But the core gameplay element was still the same. And I think that benefited Crackdown 2 compared to Crackdown 1. Crackdown 1 is still fun. It's just
they're
like
both fun.
Yeah. It's just harder to play.
I also like the look of the agents in Crackdown 2 compared to Crackdown 1.
I
think the Crackdown 1 agents look fine. I would prefer to have a helmet on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now about sequels that we like.
Okay.
I loved, actually... The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes.
I think a lot of people give Bane a hard time because his voice. I think I would have personally maybe preferred more like a darker voice. But I think the voice that Tom Hardy. That Tom Hardy gave was fine. I also think the acting was great. He looked fine. Christian Bale, best Batman. Was amazing.
Damn, don't add him. Don't add him, bro.
Christian Bale's don't add him, dude. Who's the butching guy now? What's his name?
No.
Affleck.
Dude.
Affleck, dude. Don't.
No, I don't like that Batman.
I'm not saying he's a good Batman. I'm just saying I don't know if, what'd you call him at one point? Christopher Hay Bale? Christian Bale. That's who it is.
Yeah,
That's how I remember his name now.
He's like...
But, just everything about the movie was a good length. Like, not a lot of people talk about length in movies, but, like, it had a good length. Some movies are, like, really short. Like, Mortal Kombat 1995, an hour and 43. I would prefer it if it was 3 hours, by the way.
Just yeah.
Two and a half hours, maybe.
2.5 hours. Everything looked amazing. Like, just the opening in Dark Knight Rises where, spoiler alert, I guess, where Bane had to capture Pavlov, I believe his name was. And the plane dropped, and they were just hanging. I think that scene looked really cool.
That was really cool.
The music.
Music in that series is just, like, top-notch throughout.
The whole movie was epic. When Batman was fighting Bane, when he had to climb out of the hole that Bane was imprisoned in, when the two forces met against each other, the police force and Bane's army. I think Bane's army should have won easily, though. I mean, like, really? it was a bunch of cops where most of them didn't have a couple of them didn't have weapons against a fully armed group. And keep in mind, these are just cops, so they don't have, like, I think the most they would have are shotguns.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they all have tasers, stun pistols, guns, pistols, while the army, they did have Batman's tanks.
They broke into an armory. They were all armed with machine guns, and then it went from a shootout to a fist fight.
But that was
really cool.
But it didn't make sense.
It didn't. No.
They should have just stayed their distance.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't like about that movie though is Talia al Ghul's death.
Oh my god. So bad.
Cardboard.
she doesn't even like lose her breath. She goes. And it just, like, shakes and dies.
She expires at the wheel.
Like. Yeah, it's the worst death scene ever.
Also, the music at the end, when Alfred went to, I forgot where he went, I think, like, France, something like that.
Yeah.
And you look behind him, and he sees the back of Batman's head, and he's Anne Hathaway. The music, when he turned around, was amazing. Also, I'm still waiting on that Nightwing movie. His name was
Robin.
What? Yeah. I don't know why they gave him.
Yeah, that kind of annoying. They should have just been like Dick Grayson.
Yeah, Dick Grayson. You know? It was like, use my maiden name, something like that. And he was like, Robin. I like that name.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that Nightwing. He found the Batcave.
He
walked in there, and then it started to raise him on the platform. Come on. I'm just saying.
Who was the director for that movie?
It was Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Also, great director.
All of those movies were great. Like, the first movie really set up Batman as, like, who he was supposed to be. You know, just some grizzly fighter. Okay, one thing I will say about Christian Bale's Batman is that... not a fan of the voice. But also, like, sometimes when he talked, his lips would, like, stick out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, really... You can't really see it, but it's just, like... It's just weird. It's like, do you remember that, like, Instagram fat or whatever? Like, the duck face?
Yeah.
Just imagine that. Like, you're always talking with that face on. Yeah, that's kind of just what he had the whole time. Take him seriously. He was like, where are they?
Yeah, his lips were kind of like that during the where is she scene against Joker.
And I was like, oh my god, not like this.
But, for the most part, I think his voice, like, could have been worked on. Mm. Though I kind of get whispering, though, because, like, if... You made the actor, like, always in a raspy voice.
Yeah.
Of course, Bruce Wayne wouldn't sound normal.
Yeah.
And also, but I do think when he is yelling, I think his voice sounds fine. Like, when he was,
well,
like,
when he's yelling, that's kind of what it's supposed to sound.
Yeah, it's supposed to sound raspy and dark. Yeah.
But when he's not yelling, of course, he's like, why do you need this? I'm the Batman.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm the Batman. He's whispering really low.
Oh, man, I hope the audio picked that up. But yeah, it was just really quiet.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys know
what? Yeah, it's like whispering almost.
Yeah. Another, one sequel that I don't know, that like, I feel like was okay, but wasn't super, like, amazing, is, like, Captain America.
Winter Soldier.
It was good. It really, actually, like, not that it wasn't amazing. It was actually,
okay.
It was really good. But it was the whole, it was like really, it was a bit slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bit slower compared to his origin story. Yeah. And like, I really liked how they didn't pull from other movies.
Because
by the time Winter Soldier came out, a lot of other Marvel movies had come out, and they could have, like, used a lot of other villains if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But they decided to stick with Captain America's, like, true enemy, the Nazi. No, Hydra.
The Nazis.
No, it's like Nazis. Hydra. Except one thing that is kind of... I know what they're trying to do in the movie, and, like, I get how serious it is in the movie, but I just love how comical it seems. It's just, like, how Hydra members greet each other, like, Hail Hydra. Just whispering it into each other's ears, like, Hail Hydra. And what if you mess up? What if, like, that guy's a Hydra member, like, okay, Hail Hydra. What? What? You can easily mess that up.
Who are you?
It's just very... It was, like, a good movie. I don't know. It just... It was good. But one will never be as bad as Thor in the Dark.
Thor the Dark World. Yeah.
Like, Malekith.
I don't even remember that.
Dark elves.
Let me tell you, that was a forgettable
part. That was let's just forget that happened.
I will say, fun fact about what's it called? Winter Soldier. I watched that movie on an iFunny on an iFunny video because there was this one channel on iFunny called Netflix, and they would just post rips of movies, and I watched that. I think. Oh, was I in Hawaii? I might have been. I can't remember. I was definitely out of state.
That's just a great way to say you watched a movie. I was in Hawaii and I watched Winter Soldier illegally on iFunny. a meme app / website. Yeah. You know? And that's where I watched all of Winter Soldier.
Yeah, a shitty meme aggregate site. Yeah, that's where I watched that movie. And it was okay. That's an okay rip, I will say.
Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok was the epitome of please fix it.
Like, the first movie was Thor was a whiny bitch. The second movie, you just don't know what's happening. Like, you know, but then you're just kind of like, what?
Yeah, I feel like Ragnarok, Thor kind of came into his own.
Yeah, Thor actually, like, just became a character that you could enjoy watching and root for.
You know it's a good redemption movie? Rocky.
All the Rocky movies are great.
Rocky 4 is insane.
The Russian one?
Yeah, the one where he's
fight communism.
Yeah.
He's in the fight against communism.
That was like the most meathead looking Russian I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, like he had an actual flat head. Like
Boris, the love hammer. The dude didn't have a neck.
He had, it was like, just an underbite, too.
Dude. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What really got me was like Rocky's whole training routine is him like pulling stuff through the snow, chopping wood.
Yeah.
And then the Russian guy had like all this tech stuff, all these like steroids put into him, and then Rocky just like knocked him up.
He had a bunch of doctors.
Knocked him out.
Knocked him up.
Oh no.
You get beat up so bad you turn pregnant.
Pregnant?
I am Pregante.
They knocked boots.
They knocked boots in the ring, homie.
Fun of everyone.
Yeah, continue.
Just out of curiosity, other than the ones we already discussed, what's a sequel that you think, either gameplay wise or like in games, in movies, in comics, etc., even in books, that developed or that changed from its predecessor and succeeded because of it?
So far, it might look like MK11.
MK11.
Because MK11 is changing a lot of things, and it's adding even more things. And it's making the game super, first of all, neutral-based. I'm not going to go too far into it, because we might do...
Yeah, we might talk about that at some point.
We might do another podcast about this, so I'm not going to go too much into it. But they're just adding a lot of things to make it more technical, to make it more complicated. And it's more of a mind game now, rather than just... Because you can't say, like, oh, it's always a mind game. You know, you always have to think when you go in. But there are some characters where you're kind of just throw out moves, and you're not really thinking, oh, maybe I could catch this person with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could say, for example, like, Dr. Fate might just do that, because you, for the most part, you are just kind of throwing out your downforward one. You know, rather than, like, you're waiting, and then you have to, like, wait for something like full screen, and then you have to like, oh, okay, now I'll throw it. Okay. For the most part, you're really just throwing them, just to chip or to hit them, or to, you know, stop them from coming close to you. Looks like MK11 is going to be changing and making more footsie heavy.
Yeah, that was going to be something I was going to bring up about MK11. We're going to talk about this more
in depth.
Yeah.
With more people.
So not to go into too much detail, but I do think that the change to become more neutral heavy.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I think as a community, it will help us. It'll help the NRS community, because there are a lot of people who kind of just think, oh, I need 50-50s to live.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that rely on mix-ups and 50-50s
And people, and there are some characters that solely live off of 50-50, Michelangelo to be an example.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people who are like, oh, I need sprint. I need some way to just get in really quickly just so I can do my 50-50s. Now you actually have to like think, where are my openings? And hopefully more people will start. Maybe the more casual player might actually go into practice. Well, of course, like I think everybody goes into practice, but I think maybe more casual players would actually start looking
at a lot of more people.
Frame data.
Yeah, you're going to be a lot less like automatic.
Yeah.
You're not going to go into like your flow chart.
Yeah. And then I think the skill floor for MK players, at least in MK11, will be higher than before because it looks like it will be a lot harder. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay. Did you come up with a sequel that subverted from the original?
Subverted from the original. Well, I kind of already said them, you know, like just Final Fantasy is a good one.
Yeah,
I have one. Like they follow it. So Final Fantasy 15, I think that was the first one that wasn't like turn based.
Right. 13
or four? Was it 14?
I think it was.
No,
13 had some freeform fighting.
Some freeform. Depends on which one you choose. Because the original 13, it was kind of like, it was like low-key turn-based because you had like energy bars that replenished.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, I remember.
So
yeah, that was also in 13 too.
It wasn't turn-based, but it kind of was because of how long you had to wait to get more energy to do attacks.
Yeah.
But Final Fantasy 15 completely revamped their whole combat system. You know, you can just attack whenever you want. They added new like abilities like warp strikes. But they also kept some stuff from the originals. So basically like spells, you know,
how
you throw your spells. One thing that I liked about 15 over like the other Final Fantasy 15 games, Final Fantasy games, is that it's less like story focused. Well, like you're there for the story, but it's also open world.
Yeah.
And that's far different from like any of the other Final Fantasy games.
Yeah,
other Final Fantasy games, you're forced to follow the story.
Yeah, even though there's this big world, you're not really looking at the big world.
Yeah, you're just
going to checkpoint to checkpoint.
Yeah, you're on a tour.
Exactly.
And that's not bad.
I have a good sequel. Hopefully you guys, I think you guys will get Jumanji.
Into the video game one?
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. I loved it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you watch it?
I did not watch it.
You did not watch it?
No.
Do you care if I spoil
it? No, I don't care.
Okay, so the movie was
a warning real quick.
Yeah.
This is just like this whole portion
is
one big spoiler.
I think
we won't say spoiler before like every movie aspect.
Yeah, you know? I'll put it in the script.
But before I continue, spoiler. Jumanji, but I probably won't even say that much about it. I just like to say that it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think the music was great.
Yeah.
The actors were great. I just loved everything about it. There wasn't really a part that I hated.
Okay.
About the movie, except for maybe the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. But that's more in the characters. Like I hated the football. I forgot his name, but the football player. He was like, oh, you didn't do my homework or whatever. Like, he's just being a dick.
One thing I really liked was having Jack Black have to act as a girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like they couldn't have picked a better actor to do so.
Yeah.
Because not that he has that quality, but he has that sense of humor to do it. And, like, really pull it off, you know?
Yeah. He plays, like, the skank, right?
Yeah.
The skank.
Oh, like, Lord. The cheerleader girl,
yeah. Exactly.
Well, the great thing about it is that they're not who they are, they're playing.
Yeah.
They're being played by like different people. So
yeah, it's almost like the polar opposites.
Yeah, like big Dwayne Johnson. He's being played by a scared
nerdy kid.
Of course he is.
And then you have the short
Kevin Hart. He's supposed to be like the backpack dude.
Yeah, the tall football player who's super huge and scary.
They have the shy emo girl.
Yeah, the shy emo girl being played by
Karen Gillan, and she has to
She's pretty revealing.
Yeah, in that sense. Yeah, she's supposed to be attractive, and that's just not something. It puts a polish spin on the character.
And obviously, Jack Black is a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that changes things because now she has. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I get
a member. She has
another appendage.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A third leg.
Third leg.
Yes.
All right. So we're at 54 minutes. You guys want to call this one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right. And that has been it for the Cinegon Gang podcast. My name is Tyler.
I'm Derek. Actually, I believe I'm new, right? Because the last one, got corrupted.
So the second podcast that got corrupted, that was the one we had with Derek.
Yeah.
And so now this is actually your first time listening to it.
Yeah. There you go. How'd you like his voice? Let me know.
And my name is Aaron.
Follow us on Instagram, Cinegon Gang Podcast. And we'll see you next time.